Welcome to No Longer Conformed. We're studying the book of 2 Corinthians, God's Messengers. In this session, we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, qualifications of God's messengers. Being God's people means becoming God's messengers. And 2 Corinthians is about just that. All believers are called to share what the Lord has done for them and will do for others. And it's necessary to be qualified as a messenger. What does it mean to be God's messengers? Well, if you haven't turned there in your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll look at three qualifications of God's messengers. First qualification, a personal assurance of God's will. Look at verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle. Well, apostle, it's one commissioned to represent another by the will of God. Well, that makes it clear that it's according to his choice. Paul had no doubt that he functioned as the Lord's messenger, that he was doing what God wanted him to do. God personalizes each Christian's ministry, and yet there are certain functions which are common to all. When you function as a messenger of God's grace and peace, you are a messenger of life to a spiritually dead world with no relationship to God. You're a messenger of light to an overwhelmingly dark world where evil is ruling. You're a messenger of grace to a world full of guilt. Sin has brought destruction. You're a messenger of mercy to a world that stands condemned, deserving hell as punishment for sin. You're a messenger of justice to an oppressed world. Evil must be avenged. You're a messenger of hope to a hopelessly lost world. Something good to look at, to look for. You're a messenger of love to a world that doesn't know acceptance, that's desperate in its state. The apostle's confidence here is reminiscent of Jesus' first sermon over in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." The word gospel means good news, and a qualification of God's messengers is that you know that when you share the good news, you're doing his will. A second qualification for God's messengers is a personal experience with God's message. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that you are partakers of the sufferings. So also, you will partake of the consolation. Paul tells us what God did in his life and why. He comforts us, is the what, and that we may be able to comfort is the why. Now, just look at that for a moment. It says, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. God ministers to us, comforts us as we go through the trials, go through the difficulties in this life, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. You see, we've been comforted that we might now be able to comfort others. And it explains it in a little bit further. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. We go through troubles. We go through difficulties in this life, and God comforts us. Now we are experienced, and we are able to comfort others with that same comfort. We understand. We're able to minister out of our own experience. So God has a twofold purpose in your life. First, what God does for you? Well, comfort. Psalm 23. The psalmist David: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, what does God do for you? Well, He comforts you. And why God does what He does for you? That we may be able to comfort. God allows suffering in our life, and that brings about spiritual growth. God comforts us in our suffering, and then He commissions us to comfort others. There's no better qualification than personal experience. Suppose you need to have surgery, and there's two doctors. The first doctor, I was top of my class, read about three ways to do it, and watched five operations. I passed the course. Second doctor, there's really no problem. I performed this operation 25 times. Which doctor would you choose? So God's messenger has to have a personal experience with the message. You must be saved. You see, because we all come the same way. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that sin calls for a penalty, calls for a punishment. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's an eternal death in hell. Not just simply a physical death. But the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. And why is that? Well, it's because God loves us. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And how was that demonstrated, that love? In God giving Jesus, that we might have eternal life? Well, Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus went to the cross while we were in the midst of our sin. All we need to do is confess that. The belief that Jesus died for us, the belief that He rose from the dead. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with our mouth confession is made, with our heart we believe unto righteousness. And then all that is necessary is to reach out and ask God to forgive us for eternal life. Romans 10, 13. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The third qualification is a personal dependence on God's power. Look at verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. You also, helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Again, we see a what and a why. In verses 8 and 9, look what happened. Trouble, burden beyond measure, despair, sentence of death. And then in the second part of verse 9, look at the why it happened. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, the old prophet. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The ability to communicate the gospel to a lost and dying world is from God alone. And Paul's confidence in verse 10, he refers to what I like to call the past, present, and future of salvation. The past, who delivered us. The present. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, the present, and in whom we trust that He will still deliver us, the future. He delivered us, He's delivering us, He will deliver us. So what do I mean by that? Well, that the moment that we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we were saved for all of eternity. It's not that salvation is a process. It happened. But we will one day experience that salvation that we received. The day that we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we were as saved as we ever will be. That's why we are referred to as in Christ. The moment we put our faith in Christ, we are in Christ. And when we step out of this life into eternity, we will realize in full that salvation that we possess. However, during this time from when we went to the cross and received salvation, to the point that we step into eternity and realize that salvation, we walk this life. And we are daily being transformed into the image of Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about when he says we were saved. We're being saved and we will be saved. It's all one act that occurred the day we put our faith in Jesus Christ. But we move in our experience in this life toward that day when we will be with Jesus in glory. Listen, commit yourself as a messenger doing God's will. Examine your life for the experience of salvation and choose to depend on God's power. You have a great day.